Scripture reading tonight is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 7, from the NIV version. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I might boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Thanks, Judy. How many of you would really love to be serving the Lord? Cool. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We have a tendency to overcomplicate it. We have a tendency to try to create images and try to create definitions and make it strange and bizarre and different, and God has a way of making it real simple. The problem is we take those simplicities and then we try to weasel out of them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. We're going to continue our journey through the book of Romans. We're in Romans 12. We're going to continue. So I'm going to begin reading verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. Assuming I remember to put on my reading glasses. Otherwise, I'm going to have Mark here hold my Bible and I'll stand back and read it from there. Romans 12, beginning at verse 9. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Consider what is good before all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Do not avenge yourselves, dear friends, but give place for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pause for prayer. Father, as we look into your word tonight, I ask that you would open our hearts to your love. Because without understanding your love, we're hopeless and helpless at loving one another. Lord, I ask that you would take this time and that you would add your blessing. Give us ears willing to hear and hearts willing to obey. Thank you for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Now, some of you are probably looking at that list going, oh, dang, we're here for a long haul. Don't worry, we're not doing the whole section today. That's the whole passage, but we're breaking it up into three different messages. So we're only going to cover the first few verses tonight, and then we'll do it some more next week, and then so. But that is all one chunk that Paul wants to communicate to the church at Rome. Now remember, what is the primary difficulty at Rome in the church there? Sorry? Conflict? Division. One side thinks they're better than the other, and the other side knows that that's not the case because they're the better ones. And we have this massive split right down the middle between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. Don't make a mistake, folks. These are all God's children. These are all Christians. And they would rather tear each other apart. Sounds horribly like 21st century North America. Paul wants to give us some advice. And he starts, oy, love without hypocrisy. What does that mean? Hypocrisy is one of those words that we like to use. Sometimes we like to hide behind. I'd be a Christian if it weren't for the hypocrites in church, or I'd go to church if it weren't for the hypocrites. Do you realize that in order to hide behind somebody, you've got to make yourself smaller than they are? What is hypocrisy in this context? Love without hypocrisy. Let me tell it to you in a really convoluted way because it'll make you think for a moment. Love without insincerity simply means love with sincerity. Be sincere in your love for one another. Folks, I'm going to get you to break all the rules you learned when you were knee-high to a hubcap. Okay? I want you to stop and I want you to look around the church today. I want you to look. Do it. Look. Take a look at these people. I get to look at you every week. Why should I be the only one who suffers? I mean, these are the people that Paul is talking about you need to be loving. These are the people Paul is talking about that you need to be loving with sincerity. Paul is starting one of his one another's, and there are a multitude of them in Romans. We're going to mark them as we go through. But Paul is talking about how we need to relate to each other. And the way he caps it all, he starts it, is love sincerely. If you mean it, say it. If you don't mean it, shut up. I'm sorry. Love with sincerity. The problem is God doesn't tell us that we can get away without loving one another. If you love me, you will obey my commandments, Jesus told his disciples. And this is the commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Kind of as long as you like, tolerate each other once in a while. Right? That much. Love one another as I have loved you. And he loved you when you hated him. That's how we're supposed to love one another. That's what begins to make the Christian church attractive to those outside. Love one another without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. This is an amazing... Paul is not shy on using really strong language. just in case you ever wondered. Every once in a while, I use a little bit of strong language, not never as strong as Paul uses. Abhor, detest, intensely hate evil. As a matter of fact, what it really means is to be filled with horror at the thought of evil to the point that you will do anything to avoid it. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. How many of you, I mean, I'm speaking to a generation that, yeah, I know you guys at least saw this. Maybe you don't remember it. Do you remember when Crazy Glue first came out? And there was no way glue worked that well. You remember the TV ads? This guy stuck up on scaffolding with his hard hat on and it glued up to the scaffolding to show how strong the glue was. Yeah, cling to what is good. It means to be glued to it. Stuck there. Firmly attached. Not attracted to, but stuck on. You ever buy the really, really good quality cling wrap? I hate it. Because unless you're good at using it, you use about 5 times as much because it's the 4th time that it finally starts to work. And by the 5th time, you've got it figured out. And you got balls of this stuff in the garbage already. Cling to what is good. And abhor. Let evil fill you with horror. To the point that you want nothing to do with it. Now, it's easy for us to look at the news and say, well, yeah, I can do that. What about in your own life? What about those things that just flashed across your mind that you just are letting go right out the other side because you really don't want to deal with them tonight? Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love. I don't know what your family was like. Depending on the day, mine was either loving or not. We'll let the understatement go. The word that Paul is using here, talking about love, is, and guys, I'm sorry, this might creep you out a little bit. It's what Paul is talking about, and if there was ever a manly Christian, it was Paul. Be tender. Treat those around you with tenderness, with tender love, care, and attention. The way you want to be treated. The way you wanted to be treated when you were little. The way you want to be treated as a spouse. That's how Paul says we are to treat one another. I, you know what? That's tough. I mean, I look at Jeff over here. Sorry, I had to pick on you. I just had to. Or Chris. Paul wants us to love each other the way a family should behave. You look out for each other. You love one another. You take care of each other, and you've got each other's back, and you are there for each other, and you are be devoted to one another in intimate tenderness because you care. Too often we just don't care. This next one's kind of fun. showing eagerness in honoring one another. You always try to build up the other person, not yourself. It's not about me. No, it's about building somebody else up. As a matter of fact, what Paul is saying here is try to outdo one another in building each other up. Try to outdo one another in promoting the honor of somebody else. You always have their best and their image in mind. That's what it means when it says love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't say it excuses it. It says it doesn't take notice. I'm more interested in your reputation, in your honor among the family than my own. Be eager to build each other up. Try to outdo one another in saying how great the other one is. And remember, love with sincerity, not hypocrisy. In other words, don't shovel it. Be real. Be real. Let that kind of love permeate your life to the point where I can hardly wait to tell you how great they are and how cool it is what God is doing in their life. Don't worry about me. But let me tell you about Jamie. You know what? Let me tell you about Jamie. There's nobody in this church who works harder than Jamie. Jamie is an amazing servant to this church. And we thank him. And we need to seek to build each other up, not tear each other down. It's easy to tear each other down. It's easy to build myself up by slamming somebody else. You know, one of the ways that we do that, and I'm very much at fault with this. I realize it, and I am working on this. But we do it a lot of times with humor. We slam people. We take little snipes out of them sometimes, and it's funny, and we laugh. But is it real? I hope not. That doesn't mean we always have to be sickeningly sweet, okay? We need to be real. Jesus came to give us life and to give us life to the full. In other words, he came to teach us what it meant to live. You want to know how to really live? Become a Christian. But it's tough because you got to put up with guys like me. Thank you, Jeff. Oh, love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Oh, don't be lazy. That's actually what he's saying in the next verse. Do not lag in your zeal. The book of Proverbs talks about the sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. That's the same word. Don't be lazy in your relationship with each other. It's easy to do it, isn't it? It's easy to get tired of putting up with people. It's easy to get tired of trying to put them first. It's easy to get tired of loving people. I'm just so glad that Jesus never gets tired of loving me. And he's my example. Not only that, but he's the one that through his love teaches me and enables me to love others Don't be lazy. Don't let it irk you. That's another way of translating this. Don't let the demands of interpersonal connectivity in the Christian church irk you. Don't let the demands of love irk you. I love that word, irk. Don't let it become irksome. Don't let it become a burden. Don't lag in your doing it. Don't be lazy. God is giving you the ability. God is showing you the example. So, like Nike said, just do it. Be enthusiastic in spirit. The watched pot never boils, and the unwatched pot is continuously boiling. The image here is a boiling pot. And not just one on the simmer. This is a boiling pot, one that never rests, one that is just always active and always going, and makes me tired just to think about it. But that's okay. God doesn't say we always have to be doing, but be enthusiastic in spirit. Does the thought of the other people in this room and the fact that they're your brothers and sisters in Christ excite you? Does it excite you when you see them walk in the door?
They're here.
Well, at least you're not being a hypocrite. Let the thought of the people around you excite you, because, guys, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. And we's family. This is how we need to treat one another. Next week, as we carry on with this passage, we'll go more into dealing with community at large. But this is the start of one anothering, or of each othering. And I love the way Paul ends this little section. Let me read it to you in the NASB. Let me read through this just to give us a little different. Some of you will be more familiar with some of that terminology. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's where we fail so often. Because in failing to do that, we fail to serve our Lord. He loved each one of you enough to die for you. Who am I to treat you like dirt? Who am I to treat you with disrespect? Who am I to dishonor those that he loved enough to die for? How dare I treat people like that? Especially when they're my family. Serving the Lord is really quite simple. It's looking out for those around you. You remember what we talked about last week? We're given gifts and talents and abilities from the Lord so that we can serve one another, because we belong to one another. Whether you like it or not, we're attached because we're family. Sorry, Gloria, it just is. We make it so complicated. How can I serve God? God, show me the ways how I can serve him, how I can serve you. God, please reveal to me your will for my life. He just did. Start looking at those around you and start loving them like Jesus does. And you will be serving him. You will be doing his will in your life. We complicate it. But it's really simple. We try to come up with weird ways around it. Oh, that means, no, just keep it simple, folks. Love with sincerity. Abhor evil. Get stuck onto whatever is good. Be devoted to one another in tender, compassionate love. Show eagerness. Be eager to build each other up and to promote each other beyond yourself and before yourself. Don't be lazy in your interactions with each other. It's tiring, yes, but don't be lazy. Be enthusiastic. Let the thoughts of your brothers and sisters in Christ bring excitement to your heart. And remember that is serving the Lord. That is doing his will in your life. I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for showing us what real love is. Thank you for giving us your love and for the ability that you give to us to love others because you love us. Jesus, thank you. Father, I pray for each one here tonight that you would be speaking your love into their lives in ways that they cannot deny. Your presence, your passion for them. Father, I ask that as you build your love into them, that they would be willing for you to love others through them. That they wouldn't become a stagnant pond with no outflow, but that they would turn around and love those that you have placed around them, that you want to encourage and to grow and develop because of what you've placed in them. Father, thank you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, encourage your hearts, and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Amen.